We're down to one Lauren, one which Lauren. Is great. No yeah. more initials. And their conversation is amazing because she starts by saying, you know, I don't open up easily. I'm here to open up. Also, I want to know what you want, aside from someone with a flexible schedule.
It's such which a is, hilarious that was... first thing. Like, all I know about you is that you want a wife and you want her to have a flexible schedule.
I really wish we could go back to the origin of her knowing that. Like, where was that conversation?
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Emma, before we recap today, I have a really important question for you. Would you eat a bug for Ari?
Absolutely not.
Would you eat a bug for me?
That one I'd have to think about. I mean, our connection is stronger than mine with Ari's, so sometimes you have to make sacrifices for love.
That is the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
I'm really good at, like,
completely
speaking.
Disarmed. And to talk about the question of eating bugs for love and so much more, we're joined today by a woman that I think we'd say has a strong independent sexiness and also a confidence. Kristen Baldwin, thanks so much for being here.
Wow, thanks for that intro.
It just felt right.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just all about the praise today.
You know what? I appreciate it. You guys are amazing.
But are we incredible?
You are incredible and amazing. And this journey has been so special already.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
This isn't really working for me. Like, can I walk you out?
Can I steal you for a minute?
This whole podcast structure is going to break down if between the three of us, we steal each other for a second. I'm worried. All right. So, and before I forget, if you aren't familiar with Kristen Baldwin's work somehow, I'm sure you've read her recaps of The Bachelor on Yahoo. She is the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Entertainment. And so she brings a lot of expertise to the table.
Yeah, we happen to all work in the same office right now, so it's quite convenient.
Yeah.
It's kismet.
So let's start at the beginning of the episode, as we always do. They're getting really artsy with the opening shots. Have you noticed this?
I love the bird chilling out in the tree and the sounds of the nature around it as Becca then jumped in the pool. And then, of course, we cut to the other ladies talking about Becca.
Yeah.
It was artfully done.
It was.
Like, Becca, look how fun-loving she is. She just jumps in pools. She can't be ready for marriage.
Well, once they would have just gone straight into the girls talking about Becca. And instead, they really set the scene of, like, a peaceful morning, nature, a beautiful woman, breaking the calm by diving into a crystalline pool, and then drama.
And then
her
the drama.
Age. Do you feel like they're upping the production value this season to distract from the fact that their lead is a sentient piece of white bread?
That's an excellent question. I do feel like they've been sort of adding some frills around the edges since also the dates haven't been that, you know, picturesque or anything. And so as much as I love the glow date, that was great, but it's not, you know, something that is visually super beautiful. So maybe they are just exploring the nature around Casa Bachelor just to give it a little beauty.
That's true. And, like, we do start to get finally away from the mansion this week.
Thank goodness. I was ready.
Visually breaks things up a little bit. And we already are getting more of Crystal stirring the pot. Mm-hmm. More of Crystal soundbite on how the other women are living in a false reality.
And how she's so above it.
Yeah.
She's just above all of it.
She's above it all.
She's going to be the voice of reason and reality for Ari because he really knows what he wants, and these other women just aren't prepared for that. And she is, because it's her, and she's
she just
good.
Has to wait for all these other women to get eliminated, which is what she's saying.
It's going to be really exhausting.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's challenging. She's faced real challenges in her life that include not always getting all the attention.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. She started off the season, you know, with this pretty touching backstory, pretty sad. You know, her brother is homeless, and she helps the homeless.
I felt real empathy for her during that.
And then it sort of gives you whiplash because now she's just a psycho hose beast, and you hate her. And, you know, it's hard to feel those two feelings at once.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's like, well, maybe she was just, you know, kind of embellishing or making mm-hmm. that up. Maybe she's a bad person, so she would do that. Or maybe it's just that bad
people
things can happen to not your favorite people.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean that the bad things are, like, that we feel take any pleasure in them.
No.
It's
right.
still super sad, and you can still feel empathy for someone, but also, like, not want to spend that much time with
right.
them.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's what I'm feeling. I'm like, I would like to spend a little less screen time with this human being.
Or at least just put her on mute every time she talks. I can't with her voice. It's the worst.
They need to start subtitling it because she's whispering a lot
yeah.
now.
Because she thinks maybe they can't hear her.
And again, I hate going, I don't want to go after a woman's voice. It's not, for me, I feel like it's not even like the tone of the voice. It's what she's saying is so frustrating. And then you notice all the other verbal mm-hmm. tics so much more when someone just has so little self-awareness. And the whispering is just confusing because yeah. the mic still picks yeah. it up.
I know.
Well, but it
but not well.
Doesn't, because I had to rewind her last conversation with him at the rose ceremony, which we'll get to. I had to rewind it 4 times to hear what she was saying. And, like, I had to make my husband stop washing the dishes in the other mm-hmm. room.
I've done that. Yeah, just no
make,
sound.
Make our note-taking a little easier for
and
us,
And you know
Crystal.
What's interesting is Seriously. Most reality shows will subtitle anyone who has even the faintest hint of a foreign accent.
Yes.
So why can't they subtitle a baby voice talking whisperer when we can't hear her?
Legitimately can't hear her. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so we...
I think maybe it's a trick to make us hate her even more.
Maybe.
Okay.
Not that you need the help.
So we get to move on from L.A., as Chris informs us. There will be no date this week, .. in L.A., because they're going to South Lake Tahoe.
Not just Lake Tahoe.
South Lake Tahoe,
y'all.
Let's get it right.
South is always better. Mm-hmm. It's closer to the equator and therefore the sun. So Ari has some great thoughts on Tahoe, which are that it just looks amazing, and sharing it with the girls will be amazing.
There
you
might
know
even
the
be
Hard
some
Rock,
love.
The Hard Rock is just amazing. Seemed like a nice hotel.
Yeah.
The Hard Rock Hotel where you checked in.
It Well, does it seem nice?
Or amazing.
Amazing.
You're right. I'm sorry.
It
I'm underselling
amazing.
It. It's amazing.
I love things like the Hard Rock Hotel. Yeah. I think they're amazing.
I also love falling in love in the Hard Rock
and
Hotel.
You know what? South Lake Tahoe might be the perfect place to fall in love.
I
we
love that
just
they played his whole like talking himself into yeah. why this would be a good place to fall in love. Like, well, yes, traveling and experiencing new things with a person does bond you and teach you things about them. So I guess that could help you fall in love.
Sure.
So
why
this
not?
Is a great way to fall in love. Okay, first one-on-one date goes to CN. Mm-hmm. Let's let our love soar. After he brutally axed Lauren on the last one-on-one date, all the women are terrified.
Right. No longer seems like a gift to get the first one-on-one
right.
because maybe you're going home.
Right.
But, you know, CN, too pure for this world and this show, will not be going
no,
home.
No, she will not.
Thank goodness.
Although she should not be staying with Ari because she's no. way too smart, way too poised, way too interesting.
Oh, no, I want her on the show long enough to become a beloved character, but not so long that she actually likes Ari that much.
Right.
I think
it's
that
a delicate
that's
balance.
Why she's actually there.
Yeah.
But
and
I mean,
she's playing the long
we
game.
We don't want her on Paradise, right? We don't want her on Winter Games. What is our dream?
Bachelorette?
I want her to be a bachelorette contender. I don't know if she has what it takes.
Yeah.
Well, I also
don't know yet.
We haven't seen enough yet. I
do we
see
actually
more.
Even, would we wish the bachelorette upon her?
I don't know.
We
or
wished it
we
upon
just,
Rachel.
I know.
And
she
and
found
I love,
Brian.
And I,
Dr. Abs. And they're so happy.
But I still love Rachel.
I love Rachel too. I mean,
I you know, I want for CN whatever CN wants for CN.
You know what? That's right.
Except for Ari. If she
Except
wants
for Ari.
Ari.
If she wants
yeah,
Ari,
I
she's, wrong.
She's wrong.
I draw
she
the line.
She doesn't know her heart in that case.
But you know what? It was interesting that he said to her, after talking to you for 10 seconds, I knew more about you than I knew about these other women that I spoke to for 5 whole minutes. And I wish we had seen more of their time together on the first night because that was actually a quasi-interesting observation from Ari.
Yeah.
But during this date, she gives him so much to work with. She brings up the fact that, you know, as a young woman of color, she didn't really see a lot of love stories featuring girls like her, that she, you know, saw her parents' marriage have certain fractures and difficulties, and she learned really young that love wasn't just all, like, butterflies and rainbows. Like, there was so much that he could have asked follow-up questions on or really dug into, and all he says is a lot of platitudes.
You're amazing.
Also, she says she introduces this conversation in the most, like, inviting a question way. She's like, when I was 14, I remember having the thought that I never want love because it makes you vulnerable. Whoa, that's a crazy thing for a 14-year-old to think. Where did that come from? What does Ari say? But being vulnerable is good.
Yeah.
Huge missed opportunity for a follow-up question.
He doesn't ask questions. Well, he almost never asks questions.
He does most of the talking on most of the dates. And, you know, he's like, tell me about you. And then he goes into his own monologue about him. But, yeah, he really didn't inquire.
He doesn't seem to actually genuinely want to know anything about these women.
I mean, he's the classic bad guy dater where he, like, doesn't bother to ask specific questions, talks about himself, and then is like, well, I said tell me about you. Like, guys aren't used to having to show specific interest in the, like, women, because women can, like, volunteer or they can just listen. Those are the options.
Those are your choices. And I felt that when he said it, when he gave her the rose, you know, you said you didn't see any love stories with women who look like you. Well, I feel like this could be the beginning of our love story. Like, that was given to him. There was no way that thought came out of his head. And that was because I'm sure the producers were like, you have to address the fact that she said something about not seeing love stories. You know, they felt like it just couldn't go completely unmentioned. But yeah, somebody handed him a note card.
That is a really good observation because it did seem very out of character. And just to quickly cover the date in case you missed it, they go parasailing in Lake Tahoe.
Which looks
it's
really
beautiful.
It looks fun.
And then they sip champagne by the water.
And as we were discussing earlier, they didn't show any of them actually beginning to parasail. So the only reason we knew they were parasailing is that some of the girls were creepily watching through binoculars. Yeah. And suddenly they were like midway parasailing.
Yeah.
They did a little, they were like, let's put them back in the shoes of the girls at the house. They're going to find out about this date the same way.
Didn't work for me.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
And, you know, parasailing is a lot like love.
You take a risk.
You get strapped to,
and
like, a
get,
chair
and, you
and
get
fly
wet.
Through the air, and then you get wet.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I think that parasailing is more like falling in love than a race car driver thing.
Or bungee jumping. Yeah.
Or bungee jumping.
Or, you know, women's wrestling.
Oh, it's a lot more like women's wrestling on The Bachelor. Yeah. There's a lot of fake aggression and fake sensuality. You have to wear pretty costumes.
Exactly.
That's love on The Bachelor.
That's true. And I wonder if, you know, this was their – they couldn't do a bungee jumping date maybe because Ari's too much of a wuss. And so this was their – this is, you know, letting – love is like letting go. And, you know, this was their the date where they could do that similarly.
I mean, this is way better than bungee jumping
for sure.
As a date. I hope that it replaces it in the rotation.
Agree.
When we get to the dinner portion, we do have that big, intense conversation about CN's history, which she mostly has with herself. And then Ari also talks about his family. And I just want to note that he sees his parents every other day.
It's a lot.
That is a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been a big red flag for CN.
That's
like
a lot for a woman to commit to.
Yeah. Like, first you're going to go to Scotland.
Is that why he wants women he's dating to have flexible schedules?
Yes.
Yeah, because you got to be able to drop everything and go to the parents' house.
I mean, he has nothing going on, so clearly it's for that. I mean, I remember when Vanessa was like, I spend Sunday with my family every week, and I was like, that's a lot for to ask of someone. Every other day? Like, no.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He's 36. Like, if you're not going to separate from your family a little bit by then, it's never going to happen.
Nope. This is it.
I just, ugh.
So not only do you have to relocate to Scottsdale, which I'm sure is lovely, you then also have to spend every other day with the how do you say his name?
Lion Dykes.
The Lion Dykes clan.
I mean, how do you have the time? Like, I don't have time to see my friends every other day.
I barely see my husband every other day.
Yeah. And you probably live in the same house.
We do.
So there you go. I mean, I just feel like the Lion Dykes have, like, nothing going on.
I guess not.
For his parents, that's fair. I'm sure they're retired. But Ari should be a little more busy. Okay. So meanwhile, back at the house, we should quickly point out Mikkel was filmed getting a phone call that I'm sure they set up on purpose because they knew this had happened, and I thought it was really gross they filmed it. Her mom is calling to tell Mikkel that her grandpa just passed away.
It's really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, she obviously, like a normal human being, left to go be with her family. It's unclear whether she'll come back.
Yeah. I think I saw her in the preview for next week. So that made me at least feel good that they were like, yes, go to the funeral and then come back, like do what you need to do. So that, a little bit of humanity from this show. Yeah.
Marie kind of was their way of teasing that, I guess, because Marie was like, I'm sure Ari will understand if she comes back. She should come back. Also, one more thing from the CN date I want to note is that they had this weird conversation by the water about how he was excited by her and how educated she is. And also he thinks she's a good kisser. And like when they kissed, he was like, damn, had to find a way to get this girl a date.
I feel like he's saying that about a lot of the women now. Yeah. Like, didn't he say that about Becca?
Well, he's narrowed it down to all the women where he kissed them and then was like, damn it.
Damn it, they're good kissers.
Damn it. Fuck, I just wish they weren't so good at kissing.
Why is everyone so hot? Yeah.
So. It's like, why are you pretending that you find that upsetting? Like, clearly it's what you like best in the world.
This is what you're here for. And then, he did sort of aggressively kiss her on that at that concert date. Yeah. Sort of toward the end, he, like, grabbed her head and, you know, put his face on it. And it just seemed a little much.
Yeah, they go to the concert.
Some country band.
I also want to just, the band was playing a song. Every time I think I'm done with CN's date, I have a lot of notes.
There's a lot.
The song directly mirrored the conversation that they had so closely that I was like, were they prepped for that before their conversation?
Maybe.
Or did the band just write the song in between the date?
Right then. They were watching the footage as it was rolling
Or are these conversations so generic that it just happened by coincidence? But it was legitimately a song that was like about being the greatest love story. Mm-hmm. How does this happen? Also, CN seems like the last person who would want to go to a country music concert and dance in front of everyone.
Dance on a tiny stage. I hate that.
I hate the tiny
platform.
I hate
it. There's nothing about it that seems romantic. It's just horrifying.
All the strangers pointing the phone at you.
Yeah.
Directly to Reality Steve. Like, it's just not necessary.
Do you guys think that they have chemistry?
No.
Yeah, me neither. No. I don't see it.
I think he wishes he was good enough for her.
Yes. Yeah. He knows he's not good enough for her.
And I think that's why he's keeping her around, because he's just like, wow, she hasn't left on her own volition yet. This is exciting, you know, when it, in fact, like, there's no way.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, Becca also makes him nervous, but they have a lot of chemistry. Becca, short hair Becca.
Short hair Becca.
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 Yeah, but, like, CN makes him nervous, not because they have so much chemistry, but because he, like, really wants to win her approval. And he is kind of, like, pointedly, like, touching her the way that he does, but it doesn't feel, like, natural. Mm-hmm. She seems a little awkward
attracted.
And reserved around
There might be some mutual attraction there, but there's no chemistry.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Yes. And,
okay, should we move on to the second date card?
The second date card is Chelsea, Crystal, Becca K, Marique, Ashley, Jacqueline, Jenna, Tia, Kendall, Lauren, Brittany, and Carolyn. Will our love survive?
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, short answer, no. if we're looking at the long game here, but.
Yeah.
This was a really interesting date.
Maybe for one of them. That's most of the women. Also, that means Becca gets the one-on-one date.
Right.
So that's when
we
get the big Becca reaction to her one-on-one date.
And Crystal's, like, fake smile where it looked like her head was about to explode.
Crystal is not impressed by anyone getting any acknowledgement when it's not her.
Becca is so young. She's still searching for an identity. And you can tell because of the way she reacted to getting the one-on-one
date. Crystal is so condescending. It kills me.
It's like, sweetheart, you make YouTube videos doing squats. Like, what is your identity and who are you to be?
But don't judge other people.
I just don't feel like she's necessarily the one who should be declaring the state of other people's identities.
I'm with you.
So they head out on this group date, and they're all hiking gear. They're heading into the woods around Tahoe.
Looked very pretty.
They did look pretty. They're going to learn survival skills.
They meet just a white-haired couple.
husband and wife team.
And the man is introduced as a survival expert, and the woman is just like, and here's my wife.
And here's my wife.
Who I do a bunch of survival stuff with all the time.
Right. Like,
she has no skills of your own, guys. I mean, she has no skills of her own, guys.
Like, he's like a former Navy SEAL, and she's Mrs. Former Navy SEAL. But yeah, I didn't really understand the idea of, like, it was, again, like, the skills you learn on this date will help you in your relationship. It's like, we're going to be eating bugs in our marriage.
Yeah, you have to drink pee and eat maggots. Yeah. That's part of the traditional wedding ritual.
If you are a pair of survivalists, then yes. But I'm not yet established that Ari is one.
No.
And the wife says this amazing thing: being out in the wild with the man of your dreams sounds romantic, but it's really dangerous. There are so many black bears out there. You would not believe all the black bears.
And you did show a couple black bears earlier.
Yeah, we don't actually see. They never learned how to survive a black bear attack, from what I can tell.
Which would have been, helpful.
Maybe
skill.
More useful.
Yeah, than, eating worms and almost being tricked into drinking your
own pee.
I think
if you're hungry enough, you're going to eat the worms.
Right.
Like, that's not a skill I need to learn.
Right.
I'll eat them when I need to. Kendall is like, I think that the outdoors and adventuring were made for me. Like, maybe shopping is the kind of date where other girls would stand out, but this is where I'm going to shine.
Oh, Kendall. Oh, Kendall. I really enjoyed her on this date.
Yeah, me too.
She's a super weirdo, and I love it.
I agree. I mean, I do think that it's odd that she loves nature so much when she likes to have stuffed dead animals around her. That just seems, I guess they're already dead, so it's not like she killed them. But
she wants to, keep it with her.
Sure.
Always.
Forever.
And, yeah, but she definitely embraced the spirit of the day, which Ari appreciated. And I like that she ate a maggot and then was like, come here, mister, and gave him a kiss, which, not enough Listerine in the world, but
that's how you know it's really love.
Exactly.
I feel like Ari needs personality injected externally into him. And
that's
like,
why Becca and Kendall are working for him.
Yeah. Right. And he's not into vulgarity. Like, he doesn't like women to be vulgar, but he does like a little bit of kookiness.
Mm-hmm.
Coupled with, very conventional hotness.
And that's Kendall to a T.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I guess, Emily Maynard had a lot of personality, as did Courtney Robertson, who he dated.
Yep.
So he likes women who are significantly more interesting than he is.
Yeah. Which is pretty much any other woman.
Yeah.
But these are the women that sort of
but
stand
also,
out.
He's not going to dig to get it.
No.
So they have to really put it on display for him.
So Kendall's got it with her, carrying her taxidermy around with her and eating the worms and all of that.
Exactly. Yeah. But before we get to the worms, they have to learn how to recycle. So they all just take
recycle
a bottle
pee.
To put to pee in, and then they're going to drink it. Because that's
actually not a thing that anyone does.
You definitely wouldn't need to do it in, Tahoe. There's a lake, right there.
Also, did every single one of them pee into the bottle? It was unclear. There wasn't really
I feel like
time to go pee into the bottle. We just cut right to, and now there's...
Well, they probably skipped that part.
I don't know.
They probably didn't want to show women literally peeing.
I didn't think we were going to see it, but just, a pause to, go...
Well, we saw them kind of all venture off.
Yeah,
we saw Kendall behind a rock.
Oh, that's true.
Ari has to go first, and he takes a swig. And
I loved how Caroline just literally gagged as she watched him and the women were just
relatable.
Yeah, because
Marique's line was pretty funny when she was like, I guess Gandhi used to drink his own pee, but I'm not Gandhi.
Right.
Yeah.
Self-awareness. Always good.
And just in case Bachelor Nation, was confused, she's definitely not Gandhi. Tia is like, well, now I feel like Ari could protect me in the wilderness.
I do wonder if that soundbite came after something else.
Probably, honestly.
Sort of strategically put it after
they
the pee.
They clearly were learning a lot of skills that we probably didn't see.
Yeah.
Also, she was in the group, I think, that he navigated.
Yeah,
right.
So it's
possible
that she just meant navigation.
Yeah. But it turns out that his was just apple juice. So Jacqueline is about to take a big old swig of hers. And he stops her just in time. But, what if he hadn't caught her in time and she had taken a big gulp of warm urine?
Oh my god.
And what's interesting
to think about?
Jacqueline hasn't shown a lot of personality. She seems, you know, sort of reserved. But I like that she just stepped up and she was like, I'm going to do it. You know, she
knew. I think there's more to her than we're seeing.
It's interesting. She compares herself to Becca in another point in the episode, which is something we haven't really seen.
No.
She's a little older, like maybe 5 years older.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I definitely could imagine Becca like chilling out a little bit as she gets older. So maybe, but that's not.
I would like to see some more of Jacqueline because it seems like there's an actual personality in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
she did. And she did seem she did seem pissed, so to speak, when she found out that she had almost drink.
She had a few really good eye rolls
like
during the episode. And
I'm not having it when he was like, ha ha, it's apple juice. You could tell she was like, I am going to cut you.
I would have liked to see that.
Yeah.
And then they do eat like maggots. I don't know why, again, they would pretend to drink pee and then actually eat maggots, but that is what happens.
It seems that not many of them actually eat the maggots.
Yeah.
I appreciated that some of them were just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
And I'm glad that Ari did it, you know, that he didn't fuss and whine about it. He just did it. And, you know, Kendall did it because this is her jam.
Right. She's like, that's fine. But I also, you know, I appreciate that some of the women were like, meh, not my thing.
I liked how Lauren, when she thought she was going to have to drink pee, Lauren was like, nope, can't make me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's right, girl. Yeah. They can't make you.
And it's like, if he really likes you, is he going to send you home because you very good-naturedly refuse to do a gross thing?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't think so. Not at this point.
Right. None of them were going off sulking. They're just like, nah, not going to do
that. Yeah, it wasn't like the wrestling date where they started crying because the wrestlers were being mean to them.
Or like the poop date last season where like Corinne went off crying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of that. It was just like, nope. This is my line and I'm not crossing it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
It's good to have a line.
Yeah.
Kendall is really kind of vibing with Ari because they're both doing the gross things. Mm-hmm. She's coming out of her shell. She sort of pulls him away for some time alone. And then, like, just stops and makes out with him behind a tree.
Yeah.
Like, right away. I was like, are you going to talk first? Or
why would you do that?
No.
Why would you chat?
I mean, why would you chat with Ari?
Exactly. There's not much there.
He's not going to tell you anything.
Meanwhile, Crystal is, like, beginning to spiral big time.
She is not liking this
date. Because this isn't her thing, which, again, is fine. And a lot of the other women are just taking it in stride and being like, this isn't my thing. But for Crystal, this is creating a real problem because she thinks that she's entitled to more time and attention and affirmation from Ari than anyone else.
Well, the real reason she feels out of her element is not because of the setting of the date. It's because there are other women there.
Right.
And when she sees other women behaving the way that she behaves, she finds them desperate and disgusting, which probably provokes a certain amount of self-loathing in her that she's burying deep down inside.
I feel like this was the first time she really realized that she was on The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, been a slow burning.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I had the one-on-one, and then it was a group date, but it was a smaller group date, and this just feels so much more competitive.
Like, yeah, honey.
You're on a competition show.
Yeah, I really do feel like this was the light bulb moment for her.
Yeah.
She was like, wait, this premise isn't ideal.
Yeah. I don't like this.
Do we feel sorry for Crystal yet?
No.
Okay.
No, because there's the lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And just the rudeness and the condescension and all that.
Yeah. I want to point out that I noticed Brittany's Chiron. She is 30.
She is 30.
We still had a 30-year-old on
I know.
On this
I didn't. I had forgotten. But, of course, she's 30, therefore.
Yeah.
Her she was not long for this Bachelor
her
world.
Her time is...
Yeah.
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 I really like Brittany.
I like her. She'll end up on Paradise.
I think so.
Winter Games or something.
She's super cute. Seems to have like a really, she was so good natured on this date.
Yeah.
Like I would have kind of lost my mind if I was lost in the snow.
Not properly dressed.
Yeah.
You know, like I would have been
And she
miserable.
Was just, at one point she turns to the camera and is like, I'm just trying to get over this fucking mountain.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like you.
I think she'd be nice for, you know, As much as I don't want to wish paradise on anyone, I think she would be.
Some people thrive in
paradise. And I think she'd have fun.
Yeah, I think so too. So sorry, I kind of skipped ahead, but they get split up into three teams. Ari's on one of them. And
that
they have
was
to
horrible
trek.
That they did that. That was like
so mean.
So perfectly geared to. And the people they put with Ari were like Crystal,
Tia
and Caroline. Like the people who are going to clash and Like, it was
and also
just,
front runners.
It was diabolical.
Why can't you just follow the giant group of people and cameramen? If like, how did the other groups get lost?
They must have staggered them.
Yeah.
Tia, with Ari and her group, like, he's, like, giving them all a hand up over a small rock and, like, Mr. Gentleman, survivor person.
Yeah.
And she's like, Ari's being, like, our man. He's helping us. The other team is probably struggling.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
I like Tia, but, like,
me too,
Jesus.
But that was...
Unfortunately, the other groups of girls
are struggling. Totally
they
lost.
Are struggling.
I related. I would be so bad at this date.
Yeah. I'd be terrible.
I would have been awful.
You know who else would have been bad at it? Most men who live in New York. Yeah. Like, there's nothing gendered about it. Navigation is hard.
No, it's hard.
I'm sure that Ari got help, to
be
honest.
And there was some, like, legitimate rock climbing involved.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
wasn't, like, a stroll where you have to figure out which path to take.
No.
They were, like, climbing over large rock formations yeah. in the snow.
Marique is... grooming herself a little bit. It's like snowing, but she still looks perfect.
Yep.
And Chelsea's like, I saw her brush her hair out. It still looks flawless.
Yeah, I appreciated both the commentary on that and Marique's dedication.
Yeah.
You know, no judgment.
So at the Oasis, which is the...
A hot tub.
That's the destination that they're supposed
that
to arrive
pretty
at.
Pretty cool, actually.
It did look nice.
And this is when things really start to fall apart for Crystal. She's in the group with him, so they all get there. You know, the pool's empty. They're going to have some more private time with Ari. They strip down to their little bikinis. They get in the hot tub. And she's like, I just want to hang out with Ari without having to compete. I want his attention, but, like, I just don't want to be one of those girls.
Too late.
I hate women who talk about other women in this way.
Yeah.
If you use the phrase, one of those girls, I probably have an issue yeah. with you.
Well, also because you're all women who signed up to be on The Bachelor. So don't be throwing stones at one of those girls who also signed up to be on The Bachelor and who's also in the same competition. I didn't see. Did they show us? Did he put his arm around her?
Yeah, he did. So, that wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing. They weren't. Tia and Carolyn were like with this guy. They're also dating. He's very pointedly giving a gesture of favoritism to another woman. They're probably uncomfortable and a little bit hurt. They're like, oh, well, we're fine. Like, we have each other.
Yeah,
like,
I thought they were ribbing him more than her.
But like,
of course she took it.
And Crystal takes everything personally. Like, she's offended when other women get attention. She's offended when she gets attention and the other women
notice.
Notice, yeah.
Like, she can't handle any of it. And, like, she'll on one hand say, I'm here for Ari, so I'm going to do whatever I have to do to, like, get his time. And on the other hand, when other women try to get attention, she, like...
It's so desperate.
It's so desperate.
And she's so above it.
Yeah. So she really is just moment to moment such a huge hypocrite.
She's just the fundamental lack of self-awareness is truly staggering with her.
And even when they try to confront her with it, it's like it doesn't process in her head.
She doesn't know.
And then she has this moment of almost insight. She says, I feel like I'm in a high school camp and everyone wants the camp counselor. I'm confused as to, is this real life? Which, no, it's The Bachelor. That's the,
right,
that's
you're right. on The Bachelor.
She's described the premise of The Bachelor, especially with Ari, who is older than all of them by a significant amount.
Right.
Yeah, at this point, he's the closest age difference he has is 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And soon it will be 7.
Right.
Yeah. So we get to the night portion. With riding that good energy, that mm-hmm. good Crystal breakdown energy. And he asked what everyone liked about the date, and Kendall said eating bugs. Such an A student on this date. But first, Ari steals Lauren for some time. And she clearly has watched a lot of The Bachelor because her strategy is she knows she doesn't open up easily, so she needs to tell him that she's trying to open up
right.
and she's here for him, which is just such a bachelor-y conversation
exactly.
to have. And also it's like she's going to tell him, not show him. She's not going to actually open
right.
up. She's
just
going to be
gonna
like,
say the words.
I'm here to open up.
And it's interesting. I will say I do give Ari credit the last couple episodes for at these cocktail parties choosing a woman right away and saying, hey, can we go talk, so that it avoids the sort of like Crystal or Chelsea or whoever diving in and that spawning animosity. At least he's taking control and saying like, OK, let, you know, I'll just pick somebody and eventually I'll get to everyone.
Yeah. And I actually I this is where I start to really enjoy seasons of The Bachelor or Bachelorette, because I like when I have a read on each person that's left.
Yeah.
And we're finally starting to get a little bit more from people.
Right.
I can finally sort them out in my head. I know
their names. Yeah.
And we're down to one Lauren,
which is
great. No more initials. And their conversation is amazing because she starts by saying, you know, I don't open up easily. I'm here to open up. Also, I want to know what you want, aside from someone with a flexible schedule.
Which is a hilarious first thing. Like, all I know about you is that you want a wife and you want her to have a flexible schedule.
I really wish we could go back to the origin of her knowing that. Like, where was that conversation? And how did he explain that he needs a flexible schedule from his wife? That was truly,
amazing.
We learned something. Yeah. That was probably the most we ever learned about Ari.
It was true insight.
I know. It,
like, okay, he wants a flexible schedule. But why? Like, because he's a realtor and part-time race car driver, so he needs a wife who can
Because he has to spend so much time with his
parents.
That's all I can.
He can't have
a
wife who's always like, I can't come, babe. I got a big presentation at work
today.
But
he values an independent woman.
Right. And he wants to be her cheerleader too.
He wants almost an equal relationship.
Yeah.
He kept saying almost before, and I was like, I'm sure that wasn't intentional, but it was just very funny to be like, I want almost an equal relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Not quite equal.
Quite equal. Like, and you're definitely moving to where I live and conforming to my life, but I'll cheer you on in a few of your goals.
It's very separate but equal. You know?
And Lauren reveals that what she wants is a relationship where they're super old and gross looking, but they're still spanking each other's butts and telling dirty jokes. And he's like, okay, like, it's hard to argue with that. Like, how, like, who's ever like, I want a relationship where we get very cold and reserved toward each other as we age, and by the time that we're 80, we just really haven't touched each other in years, but we're very polite. Like, no one says that.
I do feel like, you know, they could make a good match. Seems like they're both looking for relatively, easy things.
Basic things.
She really also reminds me of Ben's Lauren a lot.
Interesting.
And I can't tell if she has more of a personality than Ben's Lauren did.
I can't tell. I think that the thing for Lauren that I'm having a hard time with is that sometimes when she talks, when she, like this moment, she seems very young to me.
Yeah.
And other times I don't get that vibe so much, but it came across very strongly in this relationship where I was, or in this moment, where I felt like her idea of a marriage was based on not a lot of deep thought
and
or
like
experience.
A Nancy Myers movie or something.
Right.
I don't really know. Yeah.
But he's very attracted to Lauren, and we all know he leads with chemistry. That has been the catchphrase of this season. And he gets some time with Kendall. She tells him about her taxidermy duckling, Ping.
I want to see this.
Where's Ping?
I want to see
Ping.
We didn't
see Ping.
I need to see Ping.
He asked her to bring Ping to the rose ceremony. I did not see Ping.
No. She probably brought it and the interns were like, get that out of here.
She says Ping is a great traveler. And in Ari's best moment of the season, he says, of course he is. He's not alive. And I was like, I really relate to Ari right now. That's what I would say in that moment.
That was actually a funny comment from him. Yeah. Well done, Ari.
By his standards.
Yeah.
And they make out.
Sure.
Meanwhile, like, back in the group, Kendall's back. Everyone's sort of like, oh, Kendall, you're going to get the group date rose because you ate the bugs. You did such a good job today. Like, very good natured,
I thought. And Kendall's speaking about herself and her experience, which means Crystal has to interrupt her to talk about how hard life is for her.
Right. Yes. Was this the moment where she then said something about personalities and Marique shut her down?
That was amazing. She's like,
I didn't even quite understand what was happening, but Marique was just so quick to take
offense. This is the second time Marique has called her out.
We saw more of what Marique was responding to in Crystal's like in the moment.
Yeah.
And not so much, but she must have said something that triggered that directly to the women, because she was talking about a lot in the moments about how, you know, in these large group dates, the girls get so aggressive and you really see the big personalities come out. And it's just really hard for me to see like people like grabbing his hands and like the way that they're just like putting their personalities like out and like trying to get his attention. And Marique was like, well, actually, no, like my personality doesn't come out in a group setting at all, but I still have one.
Yeah, Marique was great. Marique was just itching for a fight there. And I clearly, Crystal is working the last nerve of every single woman there. And I appreciated that Marique was like, nope, you know, shut up with your stupid talk.
This is the one thing all of these women are united on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their hate you.
Genuine disdain for Crystal.
Well, it's just, again, one of these moments where Crystal has a very non-generous reading of every other woman's behavior.
Right.
And yet a very generous reading of her own.
And she expects generosity from every other woman for her behavior.
Yeah, hers is specifically informed by her experiences and the difficult setting she's in. Theirs are because they're obnoxious and they don't really know who they are and they're living in a false, deluded reality.
And drunk Tia was not having any of
it. And as Caroline and Tia point out, they were in a group with Crystal, with Ari, where they were in had that small time. And there were a lot of women who were on this group date that spent the majority of their day like hustling over rock formations without the person that they're supposed to be dating.
Yeah.
So for Crystal to dominate the conversation and complain about how she hasn't gotten enough time and it's hard for her because she's also had the one-on-one date, like, it's just obnoxious.
Yeah. And very clearly, like, trying to drag the women who made an effort to get his attention when that is in fact the point of being on the group date is. Like, they're supposed to try to get time with him. Like, that's...
Yeah, and Tia just said, Don't play the victim, which was the very clear thing that needed to be said to her.
They have like 7 conversations tonight, and I could have watched more personally. Yeah.
Also, this whole thing is making Chelsea
look normal.
Look great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to really enjoy her.
Yeah.
She has a great Crystal impression.
Her Crystal was on point.
Yeah.
It was on point.
We need to have her on so she can do it. We're bad people. So this is when Crystal sits down with Ari to tell him that she's so happy to be here and she's so excited about our connection. But I got a one-on-one so early and I feel like it put a big target on my back and it just weighs on me.
And he feeds into it.
He's like massaging her collarbone like it's bread dough.
And do you notice that he starts talking in that same voice when he talks to her? He's like, because you're beautiful. And that, of course, the other women are jealous. He starts doing this weird breathy baby voice, which maybe is just some
they're just unconscious. Mirroring each other.
Yeah.
She's like, I try to come from a place of love.
LOL.
But it just feels so mean that people would be so quick to judge me. Like, oh, you're coming from a place of love when you tell all the other women they have no sense of self.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're above them.
That's like when really religious people say that they love gay people and that's why
they don't want them to burn in hell. Yeah.
Yeah. And she at this point, he's sort of like, well, what do you mean about a target on your back? Like, is something happening? And she was like, well, didn't you notice in the jacuzzi that because you put your arm around me, like, I was called out by Tia and Caroline? And then he's like, yeah, well, of course they're threatened. You're so beautiful. I was like, Ari, don't say
why?
Shit like this. That's like,
just gross.
Because you're, in theory, also dating those women. Like, be respectful to them.
I don't think he can really hold more than 2 thoughts in his brain at any time, though. So, no.
And they're all, like, hair. Neck,
yeah,
soft,
yeah,
mouth.
Kiss.
And then Tia comes up and tries to steal him for a minute, and he rebuffs her.
Yeah,
well, she asks, Crystal says, can you ask for a minute? And so he does,
he says, he'll come get her in a minute,
yeah.
And then so she's like, okay, bye. And what's interesting to me is that then Crystal comes back and immediately pulls Tia away,
yeah,
when. If I'm Tia, I'm like, he was going to come get me to talk to me. So, like, I'm sitting here.
Yeah, back off. Although, who knows what time that actually happened.
Right, that's true. Tia did look really, really annoyed that she wanted to talk to them. But Crystal sits them down and says that her feelings were really hurt. And Ari came up to her and, like, it's not her fault. And they're like, oh, well, we weren't attacking you for that. Like, that's not what was happening. But, you know, if you feel that way, just, you know, you can consider that you make other girls feel like that, too, when you talk so much about your one-on-one date and so on. This does not register.
Not even a little.
Bounces right off.
And Tia's like, well, I feel like you were talking about us to Ari. And she says, yeah, well, I told him my feelings were hurt. There's just no, they can't engage with anything that Crystal is saying because she doesn't respond really to their responses to her. So in the end, it just, they're just sort of like.
I mean, Tia literally gets up and walks away.
Yeah.
Because Crystal says, like, if I didn't have feelings for Ari, I wouldn't be putting up with this bullshit.
Yeah.
And Tia's like, I'm out. Which, you know, good for her. Yeah. Rather than making a scene or saying, you know, speaking in anger, she's just like, I'm done. And she walks away.
That was the correct thing to do.
Exactly. I mean, disengage.
They were being, I thought, very reasonable. And if Crystal could meet them on that level, maybe they could have reached some sort of understanding.
But nope.
Because I understand, like, it seems a little mean that Tia and Carolyn are always sort of, like, giggling and, like, poking fun at her behind her back. But at a certain point, like, Crystal's got to give them something. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Just because there's only one of her doesn't mean that she's the victim. She's being a bitch to them, like, all the time.
And she got so close. Like, she said, oh, well, it's never my intention to make people feel that way. So then she could have gone the next step and taken it in and said, I'm really sorry I did make you feel that way.
Because now I feel that way and I understand how bad it is.
Yeah, and I hope we can just move on. You know, all not talk about each other and, like,
No.
There was no resolution. And there, again, like, as you said, there was no engaging with any of the substance of the conversation.
But just a lot of Crystal in the moment being floored with the insecurity here and just not knowing
her insecurities. No. She has no insecurities.
Everyone floored else. By other women's insecurities and just not knowing how to get through the elimination of all these women.
The delusion is so strong.
You know, it's pretty impressive. And I applaud her commitment to her, you know, perceived reality.
It's the power of positive thinking.
Yeah. She is going to, you know, what's that called?
The secret?
The secret. She's going to the secret that engagement right into existence.
Hey, works for her. Could work for anyone. So let's watch this space.
And Tia finally gets her time with Ari. And she kind of, you know, nods to the fact that there's been some drama, but says she doesn't want to talk about it.
And he's like, oh, well, just talk about. Kiss.
Yeah.
Talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
He just can't handle all of this emotion. He can't handle it.
No, he doesn't seem to really want to hear about what the women are talking about when they're not talking about him.
But mostly she's just sort of, she does sort of twist it in that way where she's like, I feel so comfortable with you. It's hard going through this process. I know that it has to happen. I want, like, more than the surface-level attraction. And he's like, cool. And they make out.
He's like, have faith, girl.
Yeah.
Doesn't he say to her, like, have faith that I have a plan?
Yeah.
It's like, that's creepy. What the hell is your plan?
To eliminate the allotted number of women each week until he gets down to one.
Exactly.
The Bachelor,
and then stay engaged
always
to her for 6 months.
That. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sure, definitely have faith that he has a plan. Like, I have faith that he has a plan. That doesn't mean that I'm standing at the end of that plan.
Yeah,
that
is
why I'm freaked out. Like, literally, we know what your plan is. We just don't know who you picked.
Yeah, the appropriate response to that is just like, hey, I understand. I've been in your position.
Yeah.
That's the most
that's
can
it.
Say.
That's
yeah.
it.
And so it's time for the group date rose. And Crystal feels like she deserves it because she wears her heart on her sleeve and she's so vulnerable. But the rose goes to Tia because he feels like she was really open and vulnerable. And Crystal is confused.
Yeah.
She thought she was really clear with Ari
that she should get every rose
that are going on.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like a lot of the girls here just like really don't operate at my level.
Which is true.
Her level
of delusion.
I mean,
props for insight. I mean, exactly. And, you know, the next day we see some of the girls talking while Becca M. is getting ready for her date. And she's, you know, she feels like there were a lot of highs and lows. And I think, you know, it's hard for her to let herself shine without intimidating the other girls because she comes across as just flawless.
That's flawless.
Who says that? That is so cringy.
Do we think, ladies, that there was a second part to that sentence that they cut off where something where she said, like, I come across as flawless, but I'm just as insecure as everyone else, you know, whatever.
But the editors
just felt that it would work for her villain edit, which, you know, she's earning her
honestly,
villain edit 100%.
Even if it ended that way, it would still
be crazy.
Because, like, how do you know how you come off?
Yeah.
Like,
well, again, she doesn't – she only can see her own universe of and her own reality. So in her reality, she's flawless. Yeah, it was stunning.
To me, it's just such a contemptuous thing to say about other women that, like, if the only reason they might have conflict with you is because they're intimidated – clearly they can see that, you know,
you're flawless.
You're better than them. Like, it's a really ugly framing of the whole situation.
On the other hand, you know, if you really do hate other women that much, then probably being on The Bachelor is a good place for you to be.
That's true. But a lot of the women make great friendships.
And
so,
they do actually. Yeah. This
yes.
group, with the exception of Crystal, this group does seem relatively supportive of each other.
They like, actually, they, no, they actually are.
They seem to, like, have, like, mature conversations and, like, oh, we're excited for you. And, like, really trying to support each other as best they can in this weird situation.
Yeah. Which is good.
Time to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Kristen Baldwin and more on Because One-on-One.
Time for this One-on-One, which unfortunately also has a lot of drama in it. Becca M. and Ari are going to explore Tahoe on horseback. Two horses named Cowboy in general. I would like to note that she does have a fur on her.
I believe it's fake.
I'm sure it is fake, but either way.
She's always wearing the fake.
It's very important for her to always have a fur on her.
And he does mention, he's like, I like your fake furs. Like, I wonder if he felt the need to say.
To clarify.
Like, he was like, you don't know what's going to happen to you in the real world.
Trust me.
When people see all your furs.
So, yeah, they take a nice ride through the mountain, look beautiful.
Yeah, I was jealous of this. Whenever there's a horseback riding date, I'm really jealous because I was like the horse girl that never got to take horseback riding lessons or anything like that. And I still just secretly want that life. I want to spend a whole day on horseback.
Yeah.
But I know that I would not be able to walk by the end. It's a lot of legwork.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
And on that note, back at the house, the women are discussing Becca's age gap with Ari. She is
14 years younger.
14 years younger than him. The age difference between them is in high school.
Mm-hmm. So this is a topic that I was finding kind of difficult to clarify my feelings on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a valid concern that she is 22. That is a specific place in your life.
Right.
That is a large age gap. And for a lot of people, especially, you know, mid-30s mm-hmm. to early 20s. That's a big change. And there is a lot of, you know, life to be lived and things to figure out usually when you are 22.
Especially Becca in particular doesn't seem like someone who would really want to get married right after college.
Which is not a bad thing. Let's clarify.
No.
That's like...
like, same. Yeah.
Probably should be, like, you know, how you think about life.
Yeah. And some people pointed out that Mikkel is only a year older. Mikkel has already been married. So, like, yeah. I probably wouldn't have quite the same question about Mikkel simply because she clearly wants to just get married as much and as quickly as possible.
Like, early and often.
That's actually true. I was saying, like, hey, Mikkel's 23, but that's a really good point that she is married, that she has been married and divorced, which it's weird that it hasn't come up.
Right.
Yeah.
But we know that as people who, like, read a lot of media that is adjacent to the Bachelor franchise. But I also did find the over-focus, the intense focus on her age to be sort of funny given how many 25-year-olds he's, like, readily down to marry tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the fact that he sent home every woman who...
Above 30.
Who is 30 to 32.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. And there are no women older than 32. So it's just, I don't know.
I think Becca also, not that she acts immature, but she acts very young. Like, she just has a lot of youthful, vivacious energy,
Which
he likes. But I think that's what's causing the other women to say, like, is she really ready? Like, she's not like this quiet, mature soul, you know, older than her years. Like, she seems like a young, very young woman, you know, with a lot of energy. Not that she's not smart and, you know, she has her wisdom. Everybody talks about her wisdom. But she does seem quite young and vivacious and somebody who maybe isn't ready to settle down with a 36-year-old man who likes cardigans and lives in Arizona. Yeah. You know,
that's
so like, it's
that's
fine.
A knock on her.
That's fine.
No, that, to me, that's actually like a positive.
Yeah.
For
her.
And when we say things like, when I say, like, I don't think she's ready for marriage, I don't mean that she's not mature enough. I don't mean that she's not wise enough. I don't mean that she's, like, not sure who she is. I think that she doesn't literally seem like someone who is going to want marriage right now.
Right.
Like, you could be that person at 35. Typically, if you're a 35-year-old woman who comes on The Bachelor, you probably want to get married. But a lot of young women come on the show just to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's...
And I think...
Fair, but also something Ari gets to take into account. Like, I think that's valid.
Yeah, he is allowed to take pause at that.
But in the meantime, they get in an outdoor hot tub and make the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, they do.
He is into her.
And I think she actually...
Is into him.
Is into him and is surprised by that. I think she clearly went in thinking, like, oh, I'll get a free trip to, you know, wherever. Maybe I'll get to... do some fun stuff, and then I'll get sent home. And now she's like, oh, wait, I actually like him, and, you know, we have a great chemistry. But she's definitely – so that is giving her pause, but there's still no way that she wants to get married.
No.
No, which she says to him she doesn't know and she can't give him any fake assurances, which I actually appreciated because at the end of the day, it is ultimately – he has all the power.
Yeah.
He can send her home at any point. She doesn't want to be sent home because she, as she said, and I believe her, like, she's feeling genuine feelings and she's having a great time. But at the end of the day, it's his choice.
Yeah.
I mean, they have different interests in this relationship, which is fine. And they both are just going to pursue their own interests. He wants to have a relationship that he can feel really confident will lead to marriage soon. She wants to date this guy she's attracted to and has fun with and see where it goes. Like, they were both honest about that, I think. And it comes down to the fact that she's like, but won't it still be worth it if we date and it doesn't work out? And I'm
he's like, nope.
Honey, he's a lot older than, like, he's done that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
She's at the age where, she maybe hasn't had to experience the consequences of wasted time yet.
Yeah.
Right. And I appreciate that he said, like, no, that's not worth it to me. And I related to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know.
I think we're going to see this become an issue down the road, but I am glad that Becca makes it through this date.
I do think that he felt like he genuinely likes her, and he knew she was young, but he was avoiding really asking her until this moment for whatever reason. And even though he knows somewhere in the back of his head that this is not going to work out, he couldn't cut the cord just yet. And so,
it's
like,
so
fine,
early. It's still early. You don't need to
12
cut
other women,
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
Like, he's got
people
time.
He has far less chemistry with.
I think it was sort of dumb of him to keep her, but
I understand that he's not ready to rip off.
He wanted
And it's
only
going to
be harder.
She's good
but
TV.
Whatever.
She's good TV.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to have her have her around. She brings like a fun personality,
and I love
her haircut. So
she's stunning. She's beautiful.
I just want to talk about two things from this date. One, he bought a truck when he was 15 that was already called the Black Widow, and he had no idea what that might mean.
Also, he wasn't joking when he said he barely graduated high school, right? Like, because it sounds like he was legitimately
trying to race
as a professional. I'm good for him for graduating high school. Like knowing that he was
working at Pizza Hut
and buying
like
his
really
own
busy.
Like team crew or whatever he said
for
this.
His dad does have a lot of money.
Yeah, but that was It didn't really sink in until now, where he was telling that story about buying the Black Widow, that I was like, oh, wow, he was really like, school was definitely an afterthought for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was pursuing a racing career.
Yeah.
And so the Black Widow crashed during a race and he broke his collarbone in what sounds like a really gruesome accident.
Ugh.
And then he was like, and then people were like, oh, the Black Widow strikes again. And he was like, oh. I was like, oh, sweet angel, you should read more books. You know what things mean.
He'll have a wife for that.
Yeah, that's true. Second, the moment in their conversation where Becca finally tells him she's 22.
It is amazing.
The look on his face is like he's just seen, like, a beautiful race car, like, have a 2-ton weight drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, like, the sadness. And he says, oh, you're so young. You're so young.
It's going to take him. Just, yeah, it was heartbreaking.
But
yeah.
Then he transitions so quickly into this very paternal mode with her.
But then makes out with her.
Yeah.
Right.
He still wants to hit that.
Oh, totally. But it's interesting how, like, it was interesting to me how quickly
he shifted.
He shifted into, like, before it was just all chemistry and, like, we're young and sexy. And suddenly it was like, oh, she's 14 years younger than me. And he started talking to her like, oh, but you don't know about the world. Like, you need to, like, have
live
experiences and, like, find a guy who's, like, closer in age to you, maybe. I don't know. Like, I just feel like maybe you're not ready. It just sounded so much like a stepdad or, like, a teacher just being like, maybe don't write me love letters and leave them on my desk.
Yeah, this isn't appropriate.
But then he does still make out with her. And the teacher vibe was still so present to me when she was, like, hanging on his neck.
Like, she was literally just draped on him, being like, pretty please with sugar on top, don't cut me tonight, you know. And he just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I think she's got another, like, maybe 2 weeks.
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not making it to...
No, it's going to curdle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth noting that although her age revelation really brought out the you're not ready yet conversation and really caused him to make a lot of statements about what she did and didn't want in life, which isn't really his place to say, but he already was concerned about that with Becca. Like, it's not just her age.
And
He had brought up before, I don't know if you're ready. Are you really ready to get married?
But he hadn't really, he didn't want to deal with it yet because she was so hot and he just likes making out with her.
Yeah.
You know, and now, but now he's getting down to the point where he's like, I've got to start actually focusing on this.
Yeah.
But Pixie Cut lives to see another day.
Yeah.
And bless her heart.
We move on to the cocktail party.
Party that wasn't.
Right. Where no one feels confident. And except Ari. Ari is confident in what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So he cancels the cocktail party.
Much to everyone's chagrin.
Crystal was, like, in the middle of giving a little speech about how nervous she is and how high the pressure is and how they just have to be open. And, like, that's what she does. And you really have to do that in order to enjoy, like, be part of the process. And
Who said that everything she says is, like, something she read
Kendall.
Out of a book?
Yeah.
Or a speech coach.
Yeah.
And like, she just, I liked how somebody finally pointed out, like, her little speeches are really so obnoxious.
She seems to always be giving a speech. Like, I know it's partly editing, but she could be keeping to herself a little bit, and instead they have endless footage of her giving
speeches. Just giving speeches.
Which are full of advice.
I'm sure she's not the only one who was asked to give speech by the producer, but, like, just resist. She needed to be a little savvier with the way that she's
that's why
influenced
I don't have,
production.
I can't feel sorry for any of these women, no matter how poorly they seem to be portrayed, because they got to know a little bit about how the world works in this reality TV universe.
It's also like she – and I don't know if Chelsea will rise again if Crystal leaves before her, but Chelsea seems to have backed off a little bit. And Crystal doesn't seem capable of learning from the friction she's having with the other women.
I think she feeds on it.
Oh,
I think
totally.
It just only makes her stronger.
This is my theory about Crystal. She is not as smart as she thinks, but she's not as stupid as she seems.
Yeah.
And she's definitely conscious of the fact that she gets under the other girl's skin, but she's not really playing this as a master plan the way that she imagines. So Chris shows up, no cocktail party, and so they all have to line up, and he picks up the first rose. And who do we think speaks up at exactly this moment? I'm kidding. We all watched it. It's Crystal. Crystal just wants to ask for a quick moment of his time. She's like a telephone survey giver in this moment. Can I just ask for a quick moment of your time today?
And the way they also just keep talking even when you don't want them to. She does the same.
All the women, like, they can't find a woman to say something nice about her and in the moment, clearly, because all of them have shit-talked her at this point. But she pulls him aside and at this point talks to him in such a whisper that it was almost impossible to make out what she's saying to him. But what she says is that she felt such a connection with him and she's been so proud of breaking down these barriers within their relationship. But now she realizes, been building walls to protect this relationship from the other girls, even though she adores and respects the other women. And, like, she's not here to play games.
Yeah. That's not real helpful. And why did he need to know that this very second? I guess she just felt like the other women had been shit-talking her and she wanted to preempt any. What I did love about this moment is that as soon as she took him away, all the other women were, like, sitting down, taking off their shoes. They're like, settle in, ladies. Yeah. We're going to be here for a while.
Crystal planned a speech. I mean, Crystal often puts herself in the situation where she's like, I need time with him to solidify our connection. And then she sits him down and she can't think of anything to say.
Other than we have a connection.
Yes.
Like, if she just keeps saying it, maybe it will be real.
Yeah, she'll sit him down and be like, I just wanted to build our connection.
Yeah.
So I thought I would get some time with you right now.
To build it. Maybe.
I felt like we had a good connection, but it's important that we keep building it.
I'm just going to, like, keep talking and looking at you.
At what point is she going to realize that she has, like, nothing to talk to him about?
Right.
Never, probably.
No, because that's not important to her.
I mean,
winning is important.
Her whole job is just about saying things like, we should be grateful for this connection. It's probably everything that she's got. Finally, the rose ceremony begins. Crystal feels pretty good after this conversation. Their relationship is strong. Is he going to send home a woman who has a lot to offer? I don't think so. Which... just going to point this out, means that she doesn't think any of the other women have a lot to offer. Not even the most to offer, just a lot.
Anything
to offer.
Really.
Roses go to Lauren, Kendall, Ashley, Becca Kay, Chelsea, Jenna, Jacqueline, Marique, and...
Crystal, of course.
Naturally.
Of course. That means that going home are Brittany and Carolyn.
Which, two women that I would have liked to see more from.
Yeah.
I liked Carolyn. She seemed like she could be fun. I don't think she and Ari really, from what we saw, had much in common or chemistry.
No, but they're both real estate agents.
That's true.
She seemed to be well-liked by the other women. Yeah. She was really affected when Lauren S. went home, and she seems to be really close with Tia. Like, a lot of them seem... Yeah. I always get good vibes from the ones that seem to be,
like,
friends.
Like, seem to have friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brittany was just really... great. I really liked her.
And, you know, I liked her little goodbye speech where she just said, you know, I want to meet someone. I'm disappointed, but I'm hopeful. Like, you know, she seemed sad, but not, like, devastated.
It wasn't the I will never find anyone. It was like, this is frustrating and dating's hard and I'd like to find someone
and
that's hard.
Like, that was a reasonable response. Like, it's fine that she cried, but she wasn't like, my life is over. She was just
sad. And we all know that they, like, bait them until they cry.
And they're exhausted.
Yeah, they're so tired. You know, it's 4 a.m.
I actually think that what you have to do is cry so that they'll consider you broken.
Yeah.
But then you say the reasonable thing.
Yeah,
that's like, that's
true.
What you gotta
do. And she nailed that.
Yeah,
you know?
She did a perfect
job.
And
I think she'll show up on, like, Paradise or something. I feel like she's
great.
I want
to see more from her.
Yeah, she's fun.
Carolyn's goodbye, actually... It's not that it put me off her, but it made me think that she wasn't the wrong person to send home because her goodbye was all about how she felt.
Crystal.
She should have been kept over Crystal and how offended she was that he kept Crystal instead of her.
She got a little too caught up in the Crystal
She was getting
stuff.
Too caught up in the competitiveness. It's not about that. Unfortunately, it's about Ari. And if you're not into that, I admire that. I respect it. go on
I
and
did
live
like
your life.
She took her shoes off immediately after she got sent home. She was like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm not wearing these heels anymore.
But as Crystal predicted, Ari kept me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I predicted.
She always knows what's going to happen. She's got a fifth sense.
So we get a preview for some pretty intense drama.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Me too. It looks like Chelsea is going to get a one-on-one date and maybe Tia. Crystal apparently gets heavy into day drinking.
She's day drinking in a robe.
She shows up at the date in her robe?
I think she's just
drunk.
Losing her mind. And
crazy happens, and I can't wait.
So my fear is that what really happens is that it's like a spa group date.
And she's just the only one left in her robe at
that point. But I hope that she shows up on a one-on-one date hammered.
But then Becca says to her, you said you weren't coming today. Oh, and doesn't that make you a liar? And then they tell Ari that Crystal called him a liar.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
And Ari's like, Crystal's putting my character into question. And he is not going to like that.
I love that all these people suddenly care about their character.
Yeah.
It's like, if you cared about your character, you wouldn't be on TV. That's just not how it works.
But he has to maintain his illusion of character.
Sure.
Before we sign off for the day, can we talk about the world's greatest credit sequence?
Oh, man.
Yes. So Marique sits Chelsea down after the hike and says, you told Ari that I use my compass as a mirror. And Chelsea's like, yeah, I guess I mentioned that. I wasn't like being mean. I just like mentioned it. It was small. And Marique says, well, I just feel like there's like slut shaming. I feel like you glam shamed me.
That is the most millennial response to anything I've ever heard, and it was brilliant.
This was amazing.
Millennials these days. Well, I guess I am one. Yeah. Yes, they are all millennials, except for the ones who are like Gen Z, which I don't even want to think about.
None of the people on this show are Gen Z.
Are you sure?
Yes.
22-year-olds?
Oh, she was born after 2000. She's a millennial.
No one was born after 2000. Before 2000?
That's what I mean.
That's a huge generation.
Yeah, it's 20 years. Yes.
Anyway, Marique and her glam shame. I would like to have a T-shirt because I loved Chelsea's response. You know, I am and have always been pro-glam.
Pro-glam.
I would like a pro-glam T-shirt.
For the record, I am and I've always been pro-glam.
And I thought that was the first time we really saw
Chelsea's
personality, both when she did the Crystal impression, which I know a little mean, but it was perfect. But here she was just like, I liked that she was just sort of exasperated, but she also was going with it. And she's like, I want everyone to know I'm pro-glam.
Yeah, they were also both being kind of funny about it. I mean, clearly didn't cause any permanent rift because they seemed to be fine.
Yeah, I feel like Marique actually, she played this off as sort of funny in a way that undermined her actual complaint.
Yeah.
I think there is something to the idea that this show kind of encapsulates the way that women are expected to present as very glamorous, but it's like
silly effort
or frivolous if you show the effort that goes into it. And it's girly. And like what you want is to be like hot, but also good at the outdoors or something like that. And Marique, of course, is just like, you glam shamed me and that's not a thing. But like, I thought she sort of had a point, but not a big deal. Everyone's fine.
I think they could have made this a bigger thing. And I was glad that it was just sort of presented as like both of them being lighthearted about it.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I agree with you that, and we also don't know exactly what Chelsea said. So it's unclear like how mean-spirited the original comment was.
I think it was probably, you know, honestly, I do think she was probably good-natured about it. Like, oh, you know, I saw Marique brushing her hair and it still looked flawless. Like, that's what she said to us, and I'm sure she said something similar to Ari. Like, because it was unexpected. They didn't expect it to snow, and they didn't expect it to be, like, out in the rain when this was happening. So, you know.
And they were probably all feeling like, well, I look gross. Yeah. And, like, Marique looks perfect, and she still feels like she needs to look hotter. Marique always looks like,
yeah, she's stunning.
She is gorgeous. Yeah. Okay.
All
and
right.
On that note, I think we're done here.
Yeah.
Ladies, we're
done.
It's
been real.
Thank you for being here for this.
Thank you for having me.
And
it's
one
been amazing.
Takeaway.
I feel cleansed.
Don't glam shame.
Don't glam shame people.
We're
it's not okay.
We're pro-glam.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
First, Ari mansplains to Becca that she's not ready for marriage, and there are certain experiences that she definitely needs to have, as though he's the boss of her and knows everything that's in her head. While we understand that the age difference is a definitely relevant topic, let her make her own choices, Ari. We're going to give that one a 3.
We'd like to talk about glam shaming here, which is a really thorny issue. The concept as a whole is just dumb. It's not a thing. The action itself, lightly anti-woman. So we're just going to average this out to a 2 and give thanks for the great TV moment.
And then, of course, Tia points out that Ari is being their man to help them, and the other team is probably struggling. Unfortunately, it turns out they are struggling. But hey, navigation is hard for everyone. This isn't a gender thing. We're going to give that one a 3 as well.
And last but not least, this is a real omnibus fail. Every time that Crystal talks about another woman, it's just a feminism fail.
A giant one.
Every time I found Crystal in my notes, she was saying something shitty about other women that showed disdain for women as a whole. So we're going to give that a 4 and just hope that Crystal learned something from this experience.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Kristen Baldwin, and our producer, Nick Offenberg.
Please remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. Please like us on those platforms. You can find the two of us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose. Or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.